Well, it's been a lot of firsts for presidents. We had our first black president. We almost had our first female president. We ended up with our first douchebag president.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Oh, I do. I do.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. What's up? Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm wearing Ron Van Dam pants. It's my new line of clothing pants. Yeah, other celebrities, they have their own line of clothing. Stupid celebrities like Wendy Williams and the Kardashians, and even Rachel Ray has her own line of dog food and pots and pans. Well, I figured, why can't I have my own line of something? So I've got my own line of pants, and they're comfortable too. And boy, are they wonderful. Stretchy and nice and subtle and just to die for. Ron's pants, available everywhere. Now, these pants aren't manufactured. These are just pants that I've worn before and didn't throw them out yet. But they can be yours. Park your ass where my ass once was. It's a trip that you won't find anywhere else. Ron's pants, available everywhere that my pants are still around. I gave away clothing yesterday to Big Brother, Big Sister. That's an organization, the Epilepsy Foundation also picks up clothing from my house. I don't know why they particularly do it. I don't know why the March of Dimes people don't pick up clothing or the Syphilis Association of America, but for some reason the epilepsy people do. And the people that, and oddly enough, when they pull up in their big truck, they don't appear to be epileptic. God, it's very odd to me. Of course, there's a Salvation Army, which comes by with their entire troop. But Big Brother, Big Sister came by yesterday. Two huge, huge people. I think that's wrong. I don't think they should call it Big Brother, Big Sister. They should just call it Brother and Sister. I mean, why do they have to be so big? Why do they have to be so ginormous? Well, Ron, that's not the size of their bodies, you low-life scum. It's the fact that, it's like the older brother or the older sister. Well, then say that. Don't say big. That's fat shaming. And who in their right mind would do public fat shaming? Come on. Certainly not a president. I am so upset. I am so upset. Not really. I mean, I go about my daily routine, get up, drink, go to sleep. So it doesn't really affect me in that way. But holy crap, ladies and gentlemen, do you know what this is? This is a test of our democracy. If we can make it through 4 years of this bullshit, and it is, then this democracy, this country really stands up to anything. It's a test. That's all. It's just a test. It's just a test. Take it easy. It's just a test. I guarantee, see, I'm not going to get involved in this crap. I'm going to keep an eye on this bastard. But at the same, I'm talking about the president. But at the same time, I'm not going to get all wound up and get my pants all in a bunch. That's your job when you buy my pants. Anyway, my pants are available to you. So Big Brother Big Sister truck comes by yesterday, and in a bag I have clothing. And I didn't wash the clothing, and I don't know if you're supposed to. What's the point of washing the clothing that you're giving away just to shove them in a bag and have them picked up in a dirty truck? It doesn't really make sense to me. So I didn't wash them. And then I'm thinking, ooh, someone's going to be wearing my pants. Ew, ew. And you're supposed to, I guess when you get the clothing from the Salvation Army, the Big Brother, Big Sister, you're supposed to wash the clothes. Don't just put them right on. And by the way, does anybody like give away underpants? I don't think they do. Because I think even low-life human beings understand that you shouldn't give away your underpants. And I don't think you should just throw them in the garbage either. I think they have to go to a hazmat facility. I'm not sure how that works. I got a question for you.
Wearing, what are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
I think what everybody should do today is wear something green. And it's not even St. Patrick's Day. Not close to it. It'll just screw with everybody's head. If enough people wore green head to toe, the rest of the population would just go, what's going on? I think it would be funny. But probably just to me.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm wearing. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be doing a interview with Lawrence Berggren. It'll be a live interview. He's written a book called Casanova, The World of a Seductive Genius. Now, for those of you that might be a millennial, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Casanova was I don't know if it was a real human being. I thought it was a fictional character. But it has to do with this love man, this person that just walked around and just exuded love, and girls would fall at his feet. I don't know why they would fall down. I guess klutzy girls like this guy. I really don't know how that worked. But they would look at this guy and just be near him, and they would just melt in his arms. And see, I don't know if I'd want that. I don't know if I'd want that. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to be the Casanova guy is what I'm saying. I don't think I'd want people falling at my feet and melting in my arms. That would be sloppy and messy and not something that I would want. So that doesn't work for me. But it worked for this guy, Casanova. He was a seductive genius, man. And he was, I guess, he spent most of his time in Russia and France. I really don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't know if that was the author or whether Casanova. No, I think the author spent most of his time there. But he writes about Casanova, and we're going to speak to the author, Lawrence Berggren, coming up rather shortly in the program. That should be fun, shouldn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, Ron, that sounds like a whole pant load of fun. Well, it will be. And then we're also going to speak to the president and CEO of the National Endowment for Financial Education. And we're going to talk about the outcome of the election. How might that affect your wallet? Well, that might be a matter of opinion, but we're scheduled to do that today as well. Those two things are what we're scheduled to do. It should be fun. It should be good times.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how many people get their clothing from Salvation Army stores and AmVet stores. And they're set up like lovely stores, just like any other store you would walk into. But it's all clothing that somebody else wore. And I love to go to restaurants and order food that somebody else ate. I think that's also a lot of fun. The people just chew their food, spit it out, put it on a plate, and then you eat it. It's same thing, pretty much. No different. I know a lot of people that do get their clothes from these secondhand stores, I guess is the best way of putting it. And then there's consignment shops, which are very, very similar. It's clothes that somebody else already wore. And I don't care how many times you're going to wash this stuff. I don't want to wear it. I don't want to wear something that you wore. You know why? Because I don't know you. You could have had head lice or some type of creepy sexual disease that gets on your clothes. I don't really know. I don't know you. Why would I want to wear stuff you wore? I don't know you. I have trouble sitting in chairs that other people sat in. Oh, yes. Some people call them antiques. I don't call them antiques. I call them used furniture that somebody else probably masturbated in. I have no idea what you did in this thing. The only clothes that I'll wear from somebody else are people that perhaps were in my family. You know, like wearing your wife's underpants, that kind of thing. That's okay. But from a stranger, I don't know who you are. I was watching one of those television shows there on HGTV, the Home and Garden Television Network, which I watch every once in a while for no purpose whatsoever. I don't do anything that they do on these channels, so I don't know why I'm watching them, and I don't know why I find entertainment in watching somebody else rebuild a house. I don't understand why I do these things. I just do them. And they were taking a piece of furniture, which was perfectly fine, and they take a hammer and start hammering it and knocking it around and scratching it, a brand new piece of furniture, mind you. And the host of this Home and Garden television show said, now we have a piece of distressed furniture, and it's worth more than it was to begin with. What, you're passing it off as an antique because you hit it with a hammer? Why would I want a piece of distressed furniture? Perfectly good furniture that you knocked around and ruined, and now I'm supposed to buy it. And then I thought, wait a minute, it's not just furniture, it's clothing. Have you ever gone to a store like Old Navy or New Army or any one of those clothing stores? You have distressed pants. And I never thought I'd say this. I thought that would be a joke. You know, one of my stand-up comedy jokes to talk about pants that somebody else wore. When would I use that material again? Oh, that's right, the first portion of this program. But it's absolutely true. These manufacturers take new jeans that they just made, that some poor kid in Vietnam or the Philippines just made, and they distress them. They put holes in the knees. They fade them. They make them look like they've been worn forever, even though they're brand new. And then they sell them as distressed jeans. What? What's going on? Why? What's going on? I never understood that. To me, when I see somebody walking down the street with holes in their pants and ripped knees, I think, oh my goodness, they're homeless, living out of a box, wearing pants 24 hours a day, never washing them. Oh my goodness, should I give them a dollar or something? Oh, you poor little homeless thing. And then I realized, no, they just bought their jeans. It costs $100. Oh, it's fashionable. That's what it is. So in other words, if you're wearing ripped jeans in a fashionable nightclub, then you're really with the fashion game. If you're wearing the same pair of jeans standing on a median strip with a sign saying, I'm homeless, please help me, then you're the opposite. It's all a matter of, it's not who you are, it's where you're wearing them. It's just, it's fictitiously sick. All right, let's speak to our first guest right now.
Yeah, hi, Ron.
How you doing, Ted?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Ted Beck is the president and CEO of the National Endowment for financial education, and we're talking to him about the results of the election and how they may financially impact us all. Thanks for being with us, Ted. Here,
thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a timely subject. What are consumers saying about what's happened here?
Well, we thought it was important to ask people once they knew the results of the election. So literally immediately after the day after the election, we went out and asked them, how do you feel about it? Are you more confident, less confident, about the same? And with the election of President-elect Trump, 27% felt that they were more optimistic. The rest were equally split between the same or worse off. Interestingly, we asked the same question if Secretary Clinton had been elected, and they're only 19%. Felt that they were more confident about their own financial situation going forward. So, you know, not a lot of optimism, but I think a lot of let's see what's going to happen and how it's going to affect us.
Yeah. Okay, well, so, but what do we do? I know a lot of people before the election, a lot of people I knew said that they were going to pull out of the stock market because it was probably going to spiral downward because that's what the economists were saying. And it didn't. It kind of went the opposite way. How do you explain that?
Well, the markets, if anybody can really tell you exactly what's going to happen in the market, they probably can retire.
All right.
But the key thing is stay calm. It's going to be a while before any new actions take place. So the main thing is to figure out what you can control. And that's things like, you know, look at your budget and make sure you're comfortable with it. Make sure that you're trying to figure out how to get some emergency money set aside. So if you do have an income shock or an unexpected expense, that you can deal with that over the next year or so. And then also shop around for products and make sure you're not overpaying. And then the last one and the big one is pay attention to what's going on around the big questions people have. So if things cost, the cost of health care changes, or there's change in retirement programs, which were two of the biggest issues that people were concerned about, that you can react to that and make sure you're making intelligent, informed decisions. So it's time to do some homework, especially over this next year.
So, but from what you're saying is people didn't have confidence in the economy to begin with, so maybe it's something that they should have been doing all along.
Oh, absolutely. These are just fundamental skills that people should be paying attention to and making sure that they don't get caught uninformed. So, you know, I think especially with the election, which was a contentious election, people are saying now who can deliver and will these the things that were talked about broadly, such as healthcare, you know, how is that going to affect them? And so just keep paying attention to it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that we don't have national conversations about things. We just wait and see what's going to happen. It's almost like we can't shape the future ourselves, so we just wait and see, which is kind of unfortunate.
It is, but I would probably add one thing to that. You can pay attention to your own situation and what you can deal with and what you can do.
Yeah.
So rather than just waiting, figure out how to make sure you're properly positioned and you're not taking too much risk, and don't overreact. You know, people were saying, should I sell everything? And I really disagree with that. Diversification is an intelligent way to do this. So stay calm, don't get too worried, but do pay attention to what's going on around you. And then that's how you maximize your own personal situation and the health, the financial health of your family.
Yeah. Kind of amazed that there wasn't a sell-off after the new records were hit in the market. Usually that's what happens, where they go, oh, okay, a good time to sell, and we'll wait till it goes low, and then we'll buy again. It didn't really happen this time around. I don't know why not.
Well, the pattern has always been that the first day there's usually a little bit of sell-off, irregardless of the election, if you go back the last 20 years. Yeah. But then the really key number is what happened for the following full year, and in most cases, that's actually gone up. So, again, don't overreact. Knee-jerk reactions are potentially damaging. So just kind of watch and see what happens. I think the rapid changes of the market in that 24-hour period have kind of set a new standard on how people should be paying attention.
I've always been taught to diversify investments and and my financial interests as opposed to just delving into one area. And I guess that still stands true today. So even if you lose and you win on the other side?
Well, investing is a long-term process, mm-hmm. especially if you're an average family thinking about how to have retirement security, as an example. Yeah. So, you know, quickly trading and those sorts of things, first of all, it's costly yeah. and dangerous. Very often you can miss it, especially if you're not a professional.
Yeah.
So make sure you've got diversification, that you've got a long-term plan, that you're maximizing the programs available to you either through your employer or through mm-hmm. government. And so let it build over time. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And the day after the election is really a sprint. So mm-hmm. I would worry more about that long-term marathon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm also curious why people don't go for professionals to help them work with their money, because for the most part, it's not a service that really charges you anything unless you buy something or go into something. But people kind of run scared of that.
A lot of times people don't think they have enough money for that sort of thing,
yeah.
Because, you know, most of us don't. So, but there's lots of good resources where you can try to figure out how to diversify.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you go to our website, smartaboutmoney.org, mm-hmm. we will not tell you stocks to buy. We'll just tell you about diversification. We do not sell anything.
Right.
It's just trying to get you fundamental financial information so you can be as well informed as you possibly can.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think a lot of people should be paying attention to that, and there's lots of free resources. That you can look at to say, am I following the basic ideas mm-hmm. of diversification? This is investing is really not something where you're betting for the home run. You're trying to make sure that you've got that growing financial base that's going to support you when you potentially on through retirement.
Yep, indeed. Well, I mean, they're smart words, what you're saying here. It's smartaboutmoney.org, smartaboutmoney.org, and use them as a guide to make your own decisions. And like you say, with anything in life, the more you know about something, the better off you are.
Yeah, this is one of those things where a little homework will really pay off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you said the word homework. I hate that word, but I guess it's for your own good.
We're an educational foundation, yeah. so I need to assign homework.
Okay. Oh, God, now I can't go out and play as much. All right. Hey, Ted, thank you for your time today.
Great, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not So Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Well, our interview with Lawrence Berggren Casanova about the Casanova, about the man of love, will take place tomorrow, unfortunately. So that's tomorrow. We'll talk with the author of Casanova. We'll be talking about love and sex, not in that order. First sex and then hopefully love. That's the way that really works. Isn't it? Isn't it though? Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. I'm still trying to get myself back into shape. I've got this cloud of douchebag president-elect over my head, but I'm trying to lead a proper life here. Here's my prediction. All of you that say with this president-elect, let's see what happens, let's see what he does, I guarantee you that before he is even inaugurated in January, it will be a firestorm of bullcrap. You will not be happy with the outcome. That's my prediction. And even those that voted for him will probably say to themselves, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I did that. That's my prediction. I could be wrong, but I won't be. But everything's going to be fine, because all I'm going to do when I'm feeling this way is just hold up a puppy dog.
Aww.
Yes, that's all I have to do. Look into those sorrowful eyes.
Aww.
And bend down on my knees and pick up the turds. Anyway, it is what it is. It is what it is. What it is. What it is. All right, let's speak to another guest right now, because I think that's really important to do. And let's see where this takes us.
Hi, Ron.
How are you, Brooke?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. We're speaking to Brooke Williamson, who is a chef, restaurateur, and television personality. We're going to talk about my favorite subject, which is food, and the great things about it. Happy fall autumn to you.
Happy to you.
Thank you so much. It does open up some wonderful possibilities. It's interesting, because when you're really into food like I am, not only, you know, eating it, but cooking it as well, these seasonal changes, and I don't know if you have seasons where you are, Brooke, by the way, are you in Los Angeles?
I am, but we absolutely have seasons in terms
know.
Of food.
I don't know. I have no idea. but it does make it exciting, because it gives you a little bit of a shift. It's like putting a different color on your wall, you know, for a little while, and it just makes it nice. So autumn is a wonderful time for different types of cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yes, here in Los Angeles, it's kind of pleasant weather all year round.
Yeah, I know.
But the thing that really, the thing that really makes me feel like, you know, fall has arrived is the change in produce is really what makes it feel so different.
Mm-hmm. And it's quite a big difference between summer and fall produce-wise, isn't it, as far as what's
huge
popular?
Difference.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So what is in season now? What are some of the favorites for this time of year? I think I have an idea it would be pumpkins and squashes and things, but who knows?
Yeah, so absolutely. Pumpkins and squashes are definitely the thing that kind of sparks your fall interest. Mm-hmm. We also have Brussels sprouts, some green beans, peppers. There's kind of a really beautiful array of vegetables right now. The thing that really makes it cool is that, you know, in the spring when you're planting your seeds and growing your own vegetables, Seeds of Change really offers these beautiful organic heirloom seeds, and spring is the time you plant them, but fall is the time you harvest them.
Mm-hmm.
And harvesting fall vegetables really makes for, I don't know, a really significantly special experience this time of year.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because the vegetables sometimes command what the rest of the meal will be.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, coming from Los Angeles, coming from California, the vegetables take the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've really done. I've created these three really beautiful recipes with the Seeds of Change grain blends. And the vegetables really, in my opinion, dictate where the meal goes. And so I've got one recipe with the brown rice and quinoa. The Seeds of Change microwavable packets, I mean, make it so easy and so quick to create a full meal. But I've just topped it off with some roasted acorn squash.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a really quick paella sort of style, seven grain blend with sausage and clams. I've got some beautiful roasted Brussels sprouts, which is the only way that my son will eat Brussels sprouts, is if they're crispy and roasted.
Yes.
And they're actually a favorite around my house. And we just put that on top of the brown rice and quinoa blend, topped it off with some crispy black forest ham on top of the Brussels sprouts and some almonds.
That sounds like a one dish casserole kind of situation.
Well, it's a three dish casserole.
All right. Okay. All right. But it all blends together so much, you might as well just eat it as a casserole.
I mean, there's a full meal right there.
Yeah.
But also really easy full meal and quick to prepare and healthy and good for you and something I can feel good about putting on my table in front of my family.
Yeah. Tell me about the seeds of changed foods. It's a packet?
So the grain blends are packets. They're they're fully seasoned, already cooked, just heat in the microwave in 90 seconds.
Oh.
And it really, in terms of the ease of getting a healthy dinner on the plate, it's kind of life-changing. It's perfectly cooked rice, perfectly cooked grains, and which is difficult to do if you're cooking multiple grains to get them all cooked evenly and perfectly and combined and well seasoned.
Yeah.
Takes a lot more than 90 seconds usually.
Yes. Can I have another recipe?
I kind of went through all three of the recipes that I've made pretty quickly, but. I'd have to say that my favorite is the roasted Brussels sprouts with the crispy black forest ham.
Mm.
It just adds a lot of texture, and I can feel good about the fact that I don't need to put a huge protein on the plate. I have the quinoa, which adds protein. I have the little hints of black forest ham, so it doesn't feel...
Uh-huh.
It just feels like a well-balanced dish with the crunchy almonds, a lot of texture, a lot of flavor.
Okay. Brussels sprouts, are they tiny little lettuces? I mean, heads of lettuce? That's what I always thought they were.
Cabbages.
Cabbages.
Yeah,
okay.
They're like mini cabbages.
Okay, so they actually are mini cabbages. So like for like real little people, that would be like a whole cabbage.
Yeah, and tons of nutrients packed into them as
well. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. All right, so I find these everywhere, these packets?
These packets are in supermarkets nationwide, and as are the grains. If you feel like taking it upon yourself to grow these vegetables, that's absolutely an option.
Sure.
Seeds of Change offers heirloom organic seeds, and the rices are all organic as well. So, you can also find out more information about all of the products and all of the recipes at seedsofchangefoods.com.
Wonderful. Hey, Brooke, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Do you feel like you're living in a carnival-like atmosphere? Where there's a carnival barker standing there selling you snake oil. I mean, not real oil from snakes, it's just an expression. Telling you that they have an elixir that's going to make you feel wonderful. You're going to feel happy 24/7. This stuff is amazing. You will live forever. You'll feel so healthy. You'll be kicking your feet together and smiling and laughing. All because of this wonderful miracle bottle of elixir. Yeah. Do you feel like that's what's happening? I know I do. And standing right next to this snake oil salesperson is a fat lady with a beard. And then in the tent next to it is the largest ant in the world. Not Uncle an ant, but a little ant, a carpenter ant. It's the largest in the world. It's It weighs 7,000 pounds and is 8 feet tall. This tiny little ant is huge and humongous. And you go into the tent and you look at it, and it is an ant. It's like Aunt Millie or something. And I've been tricked. I've been tricked. I paid my money to see the largest ant in the world, and it's an ant person. Oh, no, I've been tricked. And then you go to the Demolition Derby, and there's two cars there, and they keep slamming into each other over and over and over again. And you knew that would happen. My life is a demolition derby, ladies and gentlemen. Two cars that perpetually slam into each other. And the car that's left running around and putting around, nearly breaking down itself, is the winner. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way I feel as well. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, out of time for today, but I'll be back tomorrow with the Casanova guy. Ooh, that should be something and sexy, huh? Yeah, that'll be tomorrow. That'll be fun. Let's just take a breath here and regroup. You know what I do when things seem to be crashing upon me? I get up, I dust myself off, and I put on a pair of pants. But not just any pants. Ron pants. Ron pants are made 100% cotton. They're stretchy fiber that hugs your crotch like no one can. It's a sleek, delicate, beautiful look. The left leg matches the right leg every time you put them on. And for those of you that like a loose fit, there's Loose Ron pants. They're not cargo pants, no. They're just loose and relaxing. So, when you feel like nothing's working out and things are just falling apart, there's a place to go to keep it together. And nothing says comfort like a pair of Ron pants. Pick them up today, wherever good pants are sold. Again, not manufactured, but really pre-worn. You'll put on a pants that will pants you, because I'm making a verb of the word pants. Let them pant you. Pants. Ah, now those are pants. Each pair is personally worn by me for 23 years. They're expensive, yes, but there's nothing like them. and those little brown streaks, those brown spreaks. I wish you peace. Peace in your pants.